Good morning. Merry Christmas. This morning, I'm not going to be in the Christmas story. If you want to hear the Christmas story, come back tonight for our candlelight service at 6 o'clock. This morning, I'm going to speak on something that God laid on my heart because I think it's something that a lot of us struggle with. There's this time of year of Christmas. It's a time where a lot of people have a kind of a hardened heart based upon circumstances that have transpired in the last year or the last several years or at some point in their life. A lot of people go through these trials and go through these tribulations of life, and their heart just becomes hardened. You know, every year at Christmas time for me, Satan wants to harden my heart. Because I have the vision. I've had the vision now for 7 years of having to do CPR on my father-in-law on the front porch on Christmas Day. But I look back at that, and I look at how I've grown in my spiritual walk with God. I look at how my children have grown in their spiritual walk with God. And I think of, you know, yes, it's hard to look back every 7 years and have that vision in my head on this particular day. Tomorrow, that's the first thing I'll wake up and I'll see. But every day I wake up, it's a blessing to be alive, and it's a blessing that God has given me the strength to go on, and it's a blessing that He's given my family the strength to go on. But it all starts with me. Am I willing? Am I willing to allow God to do what's necessary in my life? Am I willing to open up my mind and to open up my heart and to realize that God does all things for the good? What the bad that happens is a result of sin. It's not a result of God. It's the result of sin that transpired in the Garden of Eden. It was man's decision. So this morning, we're going to be talking about a parable that Jesus gave us in Matthew chapter 13. It's the parable of the four soils. And I'm just going to go ahead and read. I'm going to go ahead and read 23 verses in Matthew chapter 13. But I want to go ahead and read the parable because everything that God's led upon my heart has to do with this parable. So beginning in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 13, it says, "Later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. A large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. Then he sat there and taught as the people stood on the shore. He told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plants soon wilted under the hot sun. And since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns and grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still, other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. His disciples came and asked him, 'Why do you use parables when you talk to the people?' He replied, 'You are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they will have taken away from them. That is why I use these parables. For they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand. This fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that says, "When you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear. And they have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand. And they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but they didn't see it. And they long to hear what you hear, but they did not hear it." Now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much has been planted. Let us pray. Our Father, we just come to you this morning thanking you for this day, thanking you for your many blessings. I just pray that you would take this service right now, and I just pray that you would just speak what you need to speak. And Father, I just pray that each of us would open our hearts, would open our minds, and be willing to receive what you have prepared for us. Father, I push myself aside. I pray that you would speak to me, and I just pray that your words would be spoken from this stage this morning and not my own. Father, I love you and I praise you. It's in Jesus' name that I pray for all of these many things. Amen. All right, so this morning we're going to be talking a little bit about spiritual hardening. Because like I said at the beginning of this service, I feel as though this is a time of year where the hearts of many people are hardened. And they're not willing to open up to what God has for them because of something that's transpired in their past. But this is a season. It's a season for a new beginning. Because on this day, over 2,000 years ago, we celebrate the day of Christmas because it was a gift that was given from God. The ultimate example of love, because God realized that through Adam and Eve, there was something called sin, and as a result, each and every one of us as His children were going to face death one day. And God extended this gift of eternal life so that we would have everlasting life, so that we would have an everlasting hope, so that sin would no longer have control over us, so that we would have victory through the name of Jesus Christ. This morning, has your heart hardened? Have you looked at something that's happened in your life and hardened your heart and not allowed God to come in and do what He wants to do through your life? He wants to use you as a tool. He wants to use you as a vessel. And He can't use you as a tool and use you as a vessel if you're not willing to open up your heart for His understanding. Not our own understanding, but for His greater understanding. So I wanted to talk a little bit about spiritual hardening. Spiritual hardening is the result of three things. Number one, it's the result of self-sufficiency. If you look in the dictionary, self-sufficiency is defined as being able to supply one's own needs without the help of others. Being self-sufficient, you don't need anybody else to help you. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning that being a child of God, if you are a child of God, Being a service to God, it does require others. It requires others to get you through the walk. You know, I shared about the last 7 years of my life being a time of spiritual growth, being a time where I've matured in my faith. I haven't done that through my own self. I haven't done that through resources of my own. God has put other people in my life. God has put messages in my life through other people that have opened my eyes. And made me look into my heart and see where I need to grow. See where I can become more faithful to Him and more open to Him and more willing to serve Him. So you can't be self-sufficient when you're serving God. When you're serving God, you have to take the self out of everything. You have to open up and allow God to use you for His kingdom. And He doesn't want to use you. He wants to use you as a vessel to proclaim His love. Because we all know the result of us. We all, you know, I'll be the first to tell you, I'm just a dirty, rotten sinner. But through the love of God, through the love of God, when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, He no longer looks at me as that dirty, rotten sinner. He no longer looks at my mistakes that I've committed in my past. From the time that I confess my sin to God, it is overturned. And God no longer looks at those things in my life and holds them against me. That's what Christmas is all about. It's about a new beginning. It's about God sending His one and only Son. So that we would have that eternal life. So that we would have that eternal hope. So you can't be self-sufficient. If you think you can get through your life utilizing your own resources, utilizing your own way, you're gonna be in a ditch that you can't escape from. Your resources are going to run out. What happens when you get into a car and you go on a road trip? Say I'm driving 500 miles from my home. Well, the car is not self-sufficient. It's got to have the fuel. It's got to have the engine to keep it going. The moment you run out of fuel, what do you have to do? You have to stop at the gas station and then fuel your vehicle up with fuel. If you don't, the car is going to die. The motor's not going to run. Well, the same thing applies to our life, folks. You gotta allow God to come in every day, and you gotta allow God to renew you every day. And if you don't allow God to come in and renew you every day with His resources, with His love, you're gonna run out. And you're gonna go into park and you're not gonna be able to move. You gotta open it up and you gotta look to God for those resources. So spiritual hardening is the result of, number one, self-sufficiency. Number two, it's the result of security in oneself. Security in oneself, which is thinking you're secure in what you have. Praise God for His security. Praise God for the name of Jesus. Being a child of God, you have that ultimate security, which is the blood of Jesus Christ. If you don't have that blood of Jesus Christ, you don't have the security of what I'm talking about. You might have the security in this world to get through the temporary trials, to get through temporary tribulations that you're facing. You might have temporary resources in your finances to get through a financial hardship. You might have temporary resources to overcome a marital problem. But if the financial hardships continue over and over again, if the marital problems incur over and over again, what happens? That security falls apart. That security falls apart because our type of security is only temporary. The resources that we have, they're only temporary. But the resources that God has for us, they're eternal. They're eternal. You know, yes, we have to worry about finances. Yes, we have to work in making financial choices. Yes, we have to work to become financially secure. Yes, we have to work in our relationships, in our marriages. Yes, we have to work in everything that we do. And yes, that does create some type of a temporary security, but those resources are going to run out. And those resources will not get you into the gates of heaven. They will not get you into that place that God's Word tells us about, that it's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a land of golden streets. Can you imagine what that will be like one day? Can you imagine that day when God calls us home? And when I shut my eyes, I'm going to open them to see Jesus Christ standing there before me. That's security, folks. That gets me excited. And I don't have that on my own. Dennis Hatcher is nothing on my own. I'm just a sinner. I'm just a sinner that needs the hope of God. Are you here this morning? Are you looking for the security through the world? Or are you looking for the security through Christ? As Jesus appeared out there in the storm, and as Peter was there on the boat, scared to death, and Jesus tells him, come on, Peter, come on. When Peter focused on God, when Peter focused on Jesus, what happened? He was walking on the water. But when he focused on his own strength, he sunk deeper and deeper and deeper. It's the same analogy as to what transpires today, folks. When you're going through life, when you're facing those trials, when you're facing those hardships of life, you cannot seek the security of yourself, because the security of yourself will seek destruction. It will result in destruction. But when you seek the strength of Jesus Christ, when you seek the strength of our Lord and Savior, He's strong enough to get you through anything. There is no trial too big for Jesus. There is nothing that has ever conquered Jesus. Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave. So if He can conquer death, hell, and the grave, why can He not conquer the issue that you're going through in your marriage? Why can He not conquer the sickness that you're dealing with in life? Why can He not conquer the loneliness of your life? When you have Jesus Christ, you're not a lonely person. You simply have to reach out and to seek Him. So spiritual hardening is the result of, number one, self-sufficiency. Number two, security in oneself. And number three, self-satisfaction. This is deadly. This is deadly. Self-satisfaction is having or showing a complacency with oneself. One's own actions. One's own behavior. When you become satisfied in yourself, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Serving God, like I said a few minutes ago, it requires you to completely rely upon God. It requires you to completely turn over everything to God. And it includes turning over yourself to Him. As I've grown in my spiritual walk with Jesus Christ, I've had to turn over myself. I stand up here today, not on my own. Because if it was left up to me, I wouldn't be standing up here. I wouldn't have faced the battles that God has put in my path the last 10 years of my life if it was up to me. But God called me to those situations. He called me to those circumstances. He called me to go through these trials and these tribulations to make me stronger and to realize that I needed Him and not myself. I'm going to share something that's transpired this week in my life with you. I really ask that you kind of not take it out of here. Because I'm going to talk about, you know, I get up here and God leads me to talk about things in my life that I don't like talking about. But when God calls me to talk about things in my life, I feel as though it's necessary to bring them out because there's somebody here that's screaming to hear it. So here it is, folks. Here's what I've went through in my life this week. Well, as most of you know, we lost my brother back in June, and my mom has just been having an awful hard time. She's really just slowing, just going into the depths of depression. And being the baby in my family, it's been just so hard to see my mom. You know, because my mom for 38 years of my life has been the rock right below Jesus Christ. You know, my mom has been that person that supported me, even when I've messed up and made the worst mistakes of my life. She's loved me through it, and she's been there every step of the way. And so, you know, for the past 6 months, as she's been dealing with this situation, I've kind of slid up and I've tried to be her rock. And this week, there was something that transpired with my other brother. You know, we really wanted to do everything that we could to be there for my mom on Christmas Eve and Christmas. Because my brother would always come up from Knoxville on Christmas Eve. And this would be the night that we would get together as a family. My mom has really been focused on, you know, what can we do for Jim? Even with him being absent this year, what can we do for him? You know, I've been in communication with my other brother. And, you know, we've been talking about, hey, it's just very important that we be there. We be there for. And earlier in the week, one of my brothers told me that he wasn't going to be there, and it broke my heart. It broke my heart because I saw my mom's heart break. She called me, and she just started bawling. So it just broke my heart. Well, Friday, my mother was supposed to watch the kids to help us finish our Christmas shopping. My dad came down with the flu, so she couldn't go. And now our Christmas Eve and our Christmas that was planned together, we're not going to be together on Christmas Eve. We're not going to be together on Christmas because my dad has the flu. But check this out. God gave me a realization. Through this situation this week. And that is, we've been drawing our strength from the wrong resource. God wants us to rely on Him. God doesn't want us to rely on ourselves. Yes, it's important that I be there for my mother. But God's got her. God's holding her. And God's going to hold her through this time. And He's going to get her through this time. In order to serve God, we got to realize that we need Jesus. We need Jesus. Yes, we need each other. And yes, we need to be a family. And yes, we need to show God's love to each other. And yes, we do need to build each other up. And yes, we do need to encourage each other. And yes, But we can't rely on each other. We got to rely on Jesus. So spiritual hardening is the result of, number one, self-sufficiency. Number two, security in oneself. And number three, self-satisfaction. I wanted to talk about six warning signs of spiritual hardening. The first warning sign of spiritual hardening that I want to talk about is disobeying God's commands. When you disobey God's commands, you're hardening your heart. When you look at Moses, the story of Moses, what was his original response to God? When God called him to lead the children of Israel out of Israel, it was no. He hardened his heart. But as God did some things in his life, what happened? He opened his eyes. He opened his eyes and he saw God. He saw God at the burning bush. Well, he didn't see God's face, but he saw the light that was so bright. He knew it was God. When God calls us to do things, it's important that we obey God's commands. When you fail to do what God is calling you to do in your life, not only are you hurting yourself, but you're hurting the ability of God to do what's necessary for His kingdom. As I said a few minutes ago, God calls each and every one of us to do something different. He calls each and every one of us as His children to be ministers for Christ. And that doesn't mean that every person in here is going to be the pastor of a church. It doesn't mean that every person in here is going to be a praise team leader. But it does mean that when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it means that you have a job and that you have a role in God's kingdom. And it means that you better obey what God is asking you to do, because God can do some great things through what He wants to do through you. This morning, what is God calling you to do? You know, I can share with you all, in the last 10 years of my life, in my spiritual walk, I've had people come up to me, and I don't know how many times it happens oh so frequently, that they share with me, "Dennis, I can't do this, what God's asking me to do. I just don't have what it's... I don't have what it takes." You're right. You don't have what it takes, but God does have what it takes. And God can make you into the Christian that you need to be if you're willing to open your eyes and you're willing to open your heart. But that's where it all begins. You've got to be willing to open those eyes. You've got to be willing to open that heart. And you've got to be willing, most importantly, to let God change you. And if you're disobeying what He's asking you to do, you're hardening your heart. You're making it harder for God to do what He wants to do in your life through you. If you look at the example in Exodus chapter 4, verse 21, God commanded Moses to return to Egypt to perform miracles that God empowered Moses to do. It says in verse 21, "And the Lord told Moses, 'When you arrive back in Egypt, go to Pharaoh and perform all the miracles I have empowered you to do. But I will harden his heart so he will refuse to let the people go.'" And here Moses went and he performed these miracles. God performed these miracles through Moses. And what happened? Pharaoh hardened his heart. Same thing happens to us as Christians today. When you're not willing to follow through with what God is calling you to do, you're hardening your heart. And not only are you hardening your heart, but that affects your spiritual heart. That affects your spiritual walk. What trial, what tribulation are you going through today in your life? Are you hardening your heart? Is your walk with God becoming more difficult because you're not following and obeying God in the fullest? So number one, disobeying is one of the warning signs of spiritual hardening. Number two, taking wealth and prosperity for granted. Notice I didn't say taking wealth and prosperity. Taking wealth and prosperity for granted is a sign of disobeying the heart. Disobeying spiritual hardening. Pull up Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 6 through 14, please, Joe. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 6 through 14. And it says here, "So obey the commands of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land of flowing streams and pools of water, with fountains and springs that gush out in the valleys and hills. It is a land of wheat and barley, of grapevines, fig trees and pomegranates, of olive oil and honey. It is a land where food is plentiful and nothing is lacking. It is a land where iron is a common stone and copper is abundant in the hills. When you have eaten your fill, be sure to praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. But that is the time to be careful. Beware that in your plenty, you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, regulations, and decrees that I am giving you today. For when you have become full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and herds have become very large and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, be careful. Do not become proud at that time and forget the Lord your God who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt." You see how the children of Israel had become complacent? And Moses did not want them to forget where it all came from. It came from God. The manna came from God. The land of Canaan, which they were getting ready to enter, came from God. All this land of milk and honey, this land of streams flowing, this land of many resources for them. God did not want them to forget where they came from, where all that came from, the moment they entered that land. Because the children of Israel, they had had such an attitude of complacency and such an attitude of, okay, I'll be on fire for God at one moment, and then one moment, I just turn my back on God. And I have a little pity party, and I realize, and I think to myself, you know, God, how could you have done this to me? Well, why don't they look back and see how God delivered them out of the land of Egypt? Only God could have done the things that happened. Only God could have parted the Red Sea. So it's very, you know, it's important that we take the blessings that God has given us and give them back to God. Not only give them back to God, but realize that they came from God. You know, my job, I've had the same job for 16 years, and every day I wake up and I thank God that he gave it to me. And every week, I think it's one of the principles of Christianity, that every week when God blesses me with a paycheck, it's very important that I give it back to God. Because that's where it was delivered from. That's where it came from. It came from God. You know, the homes that we live in, the water that we have, the food that we eat, it's all came from God. This church, Grace Community Church, God leads it. God's blessed us with the people that we have here. The moment that we take these things for granted, it'll create spiritual hardening. Just like the children of Israel hardened their hearts against God. Number three, rebelling and being discontent. Suffering can create an attitude that blames God. Has there been a time in your life where you've went through a trial, where you've went through a tribulation, and you blame God for the result? I'll be honest with you, that's happened to me several times. And I think if you're here today and you said that that's never happened to you, I think you're lying. And you need to get up here at the altar. Maybe not get up here at the altar, but from your seat. Because a lot of us look at suffering and we look at the things that we face in our lives and we blame God for it. But none of that came from God. That all came from Adam and Eve and what they did in the garden. And there's the suffering and the trials and the tribulations that we face in our life, whether it be death, whether it be financial hardship, whether it be marital issues, whatever the ailment might be. Why don't you use that in your life to grow in your relationship with Christ? Why don't you use that and apply that to your life somewhere? To where that you become more reliant on Him than relying on yourself. I'm going on 16 years of marriage. Next May will be 16 years of marriage for Tanya and I. How is that possible? It's possible because we put God at the center of our marriage. And we look to God for the decisions. We look to God for the direction. But not only one party can do that. It takes both parties. It takes both parties to put God at the center of their marriage. God can do the same thing in your life. God can do the same thing through your suffering and through your tribulation. If you can, put up Psalm chapter 95, verse 8. I want to read a scripture out of... Here's verse 8 out of chapter 95 of Psalms. The Lord says, "Don't harden your hearts as Israel did at Meribah, as they did at Massah in the wilderness." This is again an example. The children of Israel had hardened their hearts, and here they were questioning God and questioning why they were sinning here in the wilderness. They weren't looking at how God was providing for them while they were in the wilderness. They weren't looking at, you know, they weren't looking at how God had blessed them. In your life right now, are you going through a trial? Are you going through a tribulation where you're questioning God? God, why am I going through this? Well, I know all of us are going through trials and tribulations in our lives. But don't focus on how dark it is right now. Focus on the light. And focus on how God has blessed you up to this point. And how God is going to bless you going forward. When we go through trials, when we go through the tribulations of life, we can't lose our faith. We got to hang on to our faith. And we got to realize God is in control. Are you giving the reins to God? Are you seeking God for direction? It's time that we stop rebelling. It's time that we stop being discontent with what God has given us. I was driving down the road yesterday, and I was thinking about the Christmas season. And I was sitting there thinking to myself, we are such a blessed nation. We are such a blessed people. Because in a lot of countries, a lot of third world countries, you don't get to get up in the morning and take a shower. You don't get three meals a day. And on Christmas, you don't get to go to the mall and buy all these gifts. And you don't always have a Christmas tree. And you don't always have gifts to put under the tree. The world has made Christmas into something that it's not. And in the last 7 years, I've really came to a realization of what Christmas truly is. It is a time to reflect on what God did for us through Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate gift. In the last, I'd probably say the last 3 years in my family, we've really tried to make our children realize that. And then not focus on the gifts. Because people, family, you're not guaranteed tomorrow with those individuals. So take advantage of that today. Take advantage of sharing that love of Jesus with the people that you're going to be sitting down with tonight at dinner. With the people that you're going to be spending the day with tomorrow. It's time we open up our eyes and realize how blessed we truly are. Number four, the fourth warning sign of spiritual hardening, rejection of correction. A rejection of correction. Put up Proverbs 29 verse 1, please. It says here that whoever stubbornly refuses to accept criticism will suddenly be destroyed beyond recovery. Now, this doesn't mean to go out to your family members and just start criticizing them, okay? It doesn't mean to walk up to your brothers and sisters in Christ and tell them what lowly people they are. It doesn't mean to walk up and just scream at people. What this is referring to here is there are times in our walk where we get off track. There's times in our walk where we drift away. And it's very important that we have those brothers and sisters that are close to us and that we can seek encouragement from. And even when our walk dries up and even when our walk becomes off course, it's important that those individuals that we have in our life that are attempting to get us back on track, it's very important that we're open to that. Criticism, I don't like using that word. I like using the word correction. Because there are times in your life where you need to be corrected in your walk. Because there's times where we all get off track. Being in the leadership of this church in the last 6.5 years, there's been times where we have had to love people through correction. There's been times that people have served in the leadership of this church where we've had to show the love of God and show them that there needs to be a period of correction and reflection in their life. And we didn't approach it in the way of, hey, you dirty, rotten sinner, look at what you did. No, we approached it in the way that Jesus would approach us. We did it in a loving way, where we didn't take what they had done in their life and show it to the church. We just approached them and said, listen, this is wrong. This is wrong. This is the way that you're living your life is wrong. It's not scripturally sound. You need to take some time to reflect on that. We've got to be open to that. We've got to be willing to. We've got to be willing to understand that there's times where we do get off track, and God has people on the sideline ready to get us back on track. Number five, refusing to listen. Refusing to listen leads to a loss of spiritual hearing. In Zechariah chapter 7, verses 11 through 13, it says, your ancestors refused to listen to this message. They stubbornly turned away and put their fingers in their ears to keep from hearing. They made their hearts as hard as stone, so they could not hear the instructions or the messages that the Lord of Heaven's armies had sent them by His Spirit through the earlier prophets. That is why the Lord of Heaven's armies was so angry with them. Since they refused to listen when I called to them, I would not listen when they called to me, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. If you're not willing to listen to what God is instructing you to do in your life, why should God listen to you? God wants to speak to you every day. And God does speak to you every day. He speaks through trials. He speaks through tribulations. I saw a picture earlier in the week of Whitney being in a car accident, flipping over 3 times in her vehicle. And as I looked at those pictures, and I'm from the words that you shared with me and Facebook, all I could hear God saying was, I'm protecting you all. There's no doubt that God's hand of protection was over you all. This family has been through so much this past year. And I love Diane's attitude and Whitney's attitude through it all. They're willing to listen and do what God calls them to do. They've not let the trials and the tribulations of this world, they've not let the trials and tribulations of death overcome. And they're both continuing to serve. That's an example. That's an example of how God wants us to be. That's an example of loving others as Christ loved us. Are you listening to God this morning? Are you listening? And number 6, and this is what Matthew chapter 13 is speaking of. The 6th warning sign of spiritual hardening, failing to respond. We become unable to obey when we fail to respond because we are listening with no intention to obey God's word. We fail to respond because we're listening to God's word with no intention to obey. Are you sitting here in God's presence today willing to obey? Or has your heart spiritually hardened? Here in this parable in Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 23, It's an encouragement for those who teach, for those who preach, and seek to help lead others to Christ. Christians. It's an encouragement to Christians. That's what Matthew chapter 13 is all about. It's an encouragement to Christians to actually follow through and obey God. But he gives a parable as some examples. Jesus speaks out of his very own words here in Matthew chapter 13. The majority of what I just read in verses 1 through 23 was Jesus' very own words. Jesus said here in these words that, you know, we may not always see an immediate crop. We might not always see a seed just instantaneously bloom into something. It might take years. It might never bloom, but at least God tried to use you to plant the seed. People respond to God's word in one of 4 different ways, according to Jesus here in this parable. Number 1, hardened. These are the seeds that fall on the footpath, as Jesus said. They hear the message about the kingdom and have absolutely no understanding. So since they have no understanding, even though the seed was planted, since they have no understanding, their hearts become hardened. Number 2, the seed on the rocky soil. I put shallow. This is the shallow understanding. These individuals hear the message, they receive it with joy, and they fall away as soon as they are faced with hardships because their roots aren't deep. They're shallow. Very shallow roots. These are the people that I think about and that you see so often, so many times when people come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They initially get so excited and they get so on fire for God. And then all of a sudden something happens in their life that draws them back. And due to the fact that their roots just aren't deep, they just slowly drift further away. The third type is the seed that fell among the thorns, contaminated by worry. These are the people that are contaminated by worry. No fruit is produced because the message received was crowded out by the worries of life. Worries of the devil, folks. God's word says worry is of the devil. For the longest time in my life, I've struggled with worry. I'd say probably for the first 13 years of my marriage, every time a storm would hit at night and I was awake, I would get up to the window. This is what they tell you not to do. I'd get up to the window and watch the thunder and watch the lightning and just automatically just start worrying about all these different things. You know, I would worry about trees falling on the roof. I'd worry about flooding. And I would worry about my vehicles that were parked outside. And then on top of that, I would compound and I would worry about all the things that I was facing in my life. One day I woke up, you know, and the first thing out of my mind was, Dennis, you got to stop worrying. You got to turn these things over to me and just allow me to do what I need to do through it. You can't do anything through your own power. And man, I can say for the last 3 years of my life, I've really cut down on the amount of worrying that I do in my life because I've opened up my eyes and I've realized that God is in control. And that God can do things through the situations that I'm facing in my life much better than what I can do through those situations. So are you one of those people that allow worry to come in and contaminate your relationship with Christ? Or are you number four, the seed that fell on good soil? Or they're receptive. These individuals truly hear and receive God's word, and they produce a harvest. Out of this parable that we just read, which of those seeds are you? Which describes your life the most? Which describes your spiritual relationship the most? Have you hardened your heart to God? Do you allow worry to come in and destroy your relationship? Or are you completely open and allowing God to use your life the way that He needs to use it to produce a bountiful harvest? It's Christmas Eve. There's no better gift than the gift of Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, take that opportunity. Come speak to me. Come to speak to one of our other pastors or elders here today. Let us tell you about Jesus. And let us tell you about how good He is. And let us tell you how He's blessed our lives. And let me tell you, He's much better than any gift you could ever get under the tree. He's not the kind of gift that you open up and you play with for 2 days and it's gone. He's not the kind of gift that your kids open up and they play with for an hour and then they break it. And then that $50 that you just used to buy that gift is broken. Jesus will never break your life. Jesus will make your life complete. That's my prayer for you. That's my prayer for all of you this Christmas day, this Christmas Eve day. I pray that if you don't come back for candlelight tonight, I pray that as you gather around the table with your families, pray that you would focus on the eternal things and not the temporary. Because the temporary can be taken away in the blink of an eye. 7 years ago tonight, I hugged my father-in-law. And it was the best hug I've ever had. I looked at my wife immediately after he hugged us. I said, "My gosh, your dad hugged us tight." I don't think he knew what was getting ready to happen. And I know we didn't know. But God knew that I needed that hug. I'm blessed. And you are too. Let us close in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this day. We just love you and we praise you. And Father, we thank you for this season. We thank you for loving us enough through our mistakes, through sin, through how dirty and rotten that we are. Loving us enough to extend your Son, Jesus, who died upon that cross and was resurrected from the dead, so that we might have everlasting life. Father, I just pray that as we go through this Christmas season, that we would focus on you. And we would focus on what you've done. I pray that if there's somebody here in your midst this morning that's never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I just pray, Father, that today would be their new birthday. Today would be a new beginning for them. Father, I thank you for the words that you've spoken here this morning. I just pray that we have all opened our eyes and we have all tried to find somewhere in our lives where we can apply your words. Father, I pray for those that have become spiritually hardened. Father, I pray that their eyes would be opened and that your love would be seen. Forgive us where we fail you. We love you and we praise you. It's in Jesus' name that I pray for these many things. And all God's people said, Amen.